Today is the third Sunday after Easter, and the gospel reading for today is from St. John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ his Son, our Savior. Amen. One of my least favorite questions is, which do you want first, the good news or the bad news? Most of the time, we don't want to be told that there is bad news, though it rarely surprises us that there is bad news. But it often seems in the things of this world that the good news doesn't make up for the bad. On this third Sunday after Easter, our thoughts are drawn to the words of consolation which our Lord spoke unto the disciples before his crucifixion, assuring them there would be an end to the sorrow which was to come upon them. Unlike the bad news, good news dilemmas which may confront us, the Lord assures us of a good news beyond imagination. We, like the disciples, will be sorrowful, but our sorrow will be turned into joy, because our Lord has paid the penalty for all sin, and gives to us the promise of eternal life in him. The Lord is our hope and our salvation. In him we have the promise of an end to sorrow and the gift of everlasting joy. In the world, it seems that there is no shortage of bad news. If we begin to imagine otherwise, we can just turn on the television for a few minutes to be reminded how much pain, sorrow, suffering, viciousness, self-centeredness, and just plain evil there is in the world. But often we don't have to look out there to find sorrow and suffering. We need only look within our own home or within our own heart. Disappointments at work, the frustrations around the home, or in the great sorrows of serious illness or death, either of a friend or loved one, are only a few of the categories of the sorrows that overcome us. Some of these griefs we've brought down upon ourselves, while others seem to come for no reason at all that we could determine. In such things, it's hard to know which is worse. When we know that we suffer because of our faults or our actions, or when it seems that we suffer for no reason at all, then we may be tempted to wonder if there's a reason and a purpose to anything at all. Those are the moments of the greatest anguish, times when we reap what we've sown, or when we fear that it's all simply random. Consider the words which come just before the Old Testament reading appointed for today. The reading begins with the words, And I said, My strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. The reasons why are found in the preceding verses. For there we read, I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. Such are the measure of the sorrows which overwhelm us, griefs and pains which haunt us and would crush us. In the hour of trial, when it seems that there will be no deliverance, we fear that nothing but weeping and lamentation will be our lot. The Lord knew that a great sorrow would wash over his disciples when he had been crucified. Just his words to them, "A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father," seemed to throw them into a tizzy. What possibly could these words mean? Jesus had spoken similar words long before in the temple, for we read in John chapter 7, "The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, 'I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am you cannot come.' Then the Jews said among themselves, 'Where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said? You will seek me and not find me, and where I am you cannot come.'" And St. John records on the next day, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'I am going away and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go you cannot come.' So the Jews said, 'Will he kill himself, because he said, Where I go you cannot come?' And he said to them, 'You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.'" Thus we see how important it was that the disciples not despair in their grief. Had not St. Peter confessed, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But soon after our Lord's words in John chapter 16, Jesus would be led away into crucifixion and death, and the disciples would be tempted to despair. Thus our Lord assures them, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Again, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing." These words from the Lord teach and assure us that we need never despair. The Christ has overcome even death, so there is nothing which we fear that he cannot overcome. As we read in Romans chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, through him who loved us.'" These are the things of this life which often terrify us the most: hunger, nakedness, persecution, death. To have all dignity stripped from you, to be the laughing stock of the whole world, which believes that you are perishing for nothing. Thus consider the words of St. Peter in the epistle reading appointed for today. For he wrote, "But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Earlier in the lection, St. Peter counseled, "Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Sadly, we daily sin much, and thus do and say many things which do not bring honor and glory to God. We daily have need of the confession and absolution. But Peter's words are clear: "When they speak against you as evildoers," the day comes when they will do so precisely because of your faith. But when you do good and suffer, the day comes when they will do precisely so because of your faith. The reading from the Book of Concord, assigned for Jubilate, or the third Sunday after Easter, is taken from the Large Catechism, the third petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In this part of our Lutheran confessions, Dr. Martin Luther wrote, For where the word of God is preached and accepted or believed, and produces fruit, there the holy cross cannot be wanting. And let no one think that he shall have peace, for he must risk whatever he has upon earth, possessions, honor, house, estate, wife and child, body and life. That hurts indeed our flesh and the old Adam. For the test is to be steadfast and to suffer with patience whatever afflictions befall us, and to yield whatever is taken from us. Thus our Lord told his disciples, Most assuredly I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. So it is for the church. For where the word of God is preached, accepted, or believed, and produces fruit, there the holy cross cannot be wanting, which is to say, lacking. Again, Luther wrote in our Lutheran Confessions, Such prayer, that is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, must indeed be our protection and defense now, to repel and overcome all that the devil, pope, bishops, tyrants, and heretics can do against our gospel. Let them rage all together and attempt their utmost, and deliberate and resolve how they may destroy and exterminate us, that their will and counsel may prevail. One or two Christians with this petition alone shall be our wall against them, upon which they shall dash themselves to pieces. The church lives in such a time now, but the word of God still triumphs. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You will weep for the church in her sorrows and sufferings, and the world will rejoice. The bitterest blows come from those who fancy themselves men of influence, whether they call themselves popes or go by some other name. The sorrow and afflictions which they inflict upon Christ's people are terrible indeed, for the world will rejoice as we weep, but there will be an end to the sorrows and suffering. The Lord is our hope and our salvation. In him we have the promise of an end to sorrow and the gift of everlasting joy. The comfort is the same for us as it was for the disciples. The Christ rose again on the third day, victorious over sin and death. We have our hope and salvation in the Lord. My strength and your strength are nothing, for we by nature were cut off from God on account of our sins and without strength in ourselves. But the Son of God has come in flesh to pay the penalty for our sins, and now, his Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have comfort through the Word of God to stand in the day of affliction. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. Times may come when we even wonder where our next meal will come from. But the Lord bids us to pray, Give us this day our daily bread. The one who calls us so to pray is the one who feeds his church with his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Do the troubles, fears, and wants of this world afflict you? Do your sins trouble you? We can come to the Lord's Supper and receive the body and blood of him who redeemed us through his suffering and death upon the cross for us. In him there is full forgiveness for all who repent, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died for you and for me established the sacrament for all who believe in him as their Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Son of God. There is bad news, that is, our sins. But the good news of Christ's death and resurrection for us, to make payment for our sins in full, is far greater. Led by his Holy Spirit through hearing God's word, to repent and believe on the Christ, we cling to God's good news, the saving gospel, and await the day when our Savior will come again in glory and raise us to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who shows to them that are in error the light of thy truth, to the intent that they may return into the way of righteousness, grant unto all them that are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion, that they may avoid those things that are contrary to their profession, and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.